You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Opportunities Party's new cannabis policy aims to address the problems with the sale of hard drugs. Under the rules, anyone over 20 would be able to buy marijuana, although the sale of the drug would be tightly regulated through charities and an online government store. BFM reporter Josh Story spoke to the party's leader, Gareth Morgan.
The polls have shown a steady increase for cannabis legalisation over the years. What do you think has slowed the process?
It's obviously the political part of this that is causing the issue. The politicians just won't provide any sort of leadership on it. They are so obsessed with preserving their jobs and their careers, they don't want to take any risks. That is what you see from career politicians across the whole spectrum of policies that can improve New Zealanders' lives. They're basically there for their jobs, not for benefiting New Zealanders as a priority. That is the whole reason behind the Opportunities Party. Back in 1998, that had the recommendation to legalise the distribution of cannabis. So that's 20 years ago. For the reasons that I'm talking about, the various sources of harm that come to people who use it from the criminal underworld, having to deal with them to get supply, and then from the criminal justice system, you know, if you get picked up for using it. And that was recommended 20 years ago, and still these politicians are doing nothing. And I've had seen Pauline Bennett on the radio this morning, you know, trivialising the whole thing and saying, well, you know, smoking's more important. The woman is the head of, you know, the Minister of Police. She should listen to her own police force about this issue. It is just unacceptable. You know, what we're seeing now, I mean, my whole approach to this has been based on evidence, international evidence in particular. There is no evidence whatsoever that prohibition reduces usage. 40% of all New Zealand adults have used cannabis. Each year, 11% of New Zealanders use it. 24% of young New Zealanders use it. And these people just will not move on it. Now, unfortunately, the harm that is coming from their contact now with the criminal world to get supply is spilling over into all New Zealanders' lives. I'll give you an example. I was in a low-income community the other day, yeah. And the crims there, the gangs basically, have cut off the supply of cannabis because they want those people who are our weakest and most vulnerable section of society in terms of income, jobs, mental health, they want them to use pee rather than cannabis because there's higher profits and, of course, there's more addiction. So that's the sort of sinister consequences of what the inaction from these politicians is causing. So, you know, it is time for the politicians to wake up and get real and do some bloody work here in terms of doing their homework on what the evidence is. You know, that poll that's running on the minute in TV3, it's a lot of people now. 86% of people, right, are supporting what we're talking about. So the only ones who aren't are these politicians who are so obsessed with their own careers that they don't want to listen. I just think it's terrible.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned about the, you know, the poorest in society being the most sort of victimised by this. Do you think there's any steps we could take to avoid what's happened with tobacco taxes and how that's sort of targeted the poorest also? Do you think there's anything we can do about avoiding that situation with the legal cannabis trade?
Well, I think what you need to do is you need to make sure that the price of cannabis doesn't rise from where it is now. So we know what the price essentially is. So the government controls the supply line, so the people who are licensed to grow it a license to the government. The government sets the tax rate. The government controls the sales outlets. So the price doesn't change from what it is. But by doing that, of course, you take the criminal world out of the equation totally. People can get their cannabis without having to deal with criminals. The most important thing here, as far as I'm concerned, is to try and reduce harm. We don't want to necessarily increase usage of cannabis. And that's what happened in Colorado, where they let the market just supply it. Of course, the price collapsed, and the usage went up. Well, that's the last thing you want to do if you're actually at all interested in minimising harm. So what we want to do is use the proceeds from the tax to educate particularly young people, right, on the dangers of using alcohol as well, actually, but cannabis especially if they're sort of under 20, because that, you know, their brains aren't fully developed. That's when the, those are the group that's putting themselves at risk. And I think only through education, regulation of supply and taxation, you know, control, can we actually achieve that objective. So I can't see what's to lose here. The only blockage is the inertia and, quite frankly, the laziness and cowardice of these politicians.
Yeah, and you've mentioned in the past that $150 million potentially is the industry that is right now going to the gangs that could be going to the taxpayers, helping them out.
Well, that's only part of it, though.
Right.
Because, you know, you've then got the $180 million on top of that that the police are wasting, running around on what's trivia, you know, cannabis-related offences. That would enable them to concentrate on far more serious stuff. But that $150 million, the Treasury-supplied figure, I actually think the cost of the damage is a lot higher now because of what's happening with tea. Because we have refused to face up to the cannabis issue and legalise it, we now obviously have people, you know, finding tea more accessible, and tea has a hell of a lot more damaging impact, and is far more addictive than cannabis ever will be. So that's the consequence of our inaction.
So with that $150 million plus, as you say, are there any sort of negatives in the economy that you can think of as far as
the negative out there is we want to try and reduce usage by younger people, right, until they're developed enough so that it's going to, you know, the risk of damage from it is way, way down. Now, the medicals will tell us that, you know, that safe age is 25. That's what all the medical type stuff says. But, you know, that might as well be 90, that age, as far as a 17-year-old's concerned. So aren't we better to do what we're suggesting here, which is make the age 20, right, which is a sort of compromise, and then just invest shitloads, basically, into educating young people about the dangers of them using cannabis too young. So they know they can get to it, but, you know, they can get to it in a more safe manner than at present, because they actually happen to be the heaviest users. They're 24% each year of them, as opposed to 11% of New Zealanders on average each year.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.